Guys.
The defendant may have grabbed a pen or a pencil and charged the witness stand at that time with an instrument. I believe he was shot in the chest multiple times.
And that's where it begins, a courthouse shooting and some very sad moments for several people in Salt Lake City. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. A man actually died after being shot at the federal courthouse, a defendant. That's who died after he was shot by a marshal during an attack on a witness in a trial in a new federal courthouse in Salt Lake City. So the conversation there is all about how violence can't be stopped on many of the talk shows coming out of that area, out of Salt Lake City. The defendant died at a hospital when he was shot in the chest as he rushed the witness with a pen in a very threatening manner, I guess. So he was shot in front of the jury that had been selected on Friday. It had to be a wild scene in that courthouse. And under the standard procedure, the defendant wasn't restrained in the courthouse. Salih Angelou, 25, is who the defendant was, and he was aggressive. He did make the move, and that's what they're supposed to do. But also very sad is his daughter was in the courtroom when that happened and saw him fatally shot. Six shots in all, they say, were fired, and the witness was not injured. He's about to testify about gang initiation because this was a gang-related case and obviously didn't get to do that. The defendant was charged with robbing convenience stores and assaulting clerks in Salt Lake City five different times from 2002 to 2007. A clerk was shot in the final robbery. He was accused of assault on a federal officer with a weapon and discharging a gun during a crime in 2007. He was the last defendant in the case to stand trial on this. A mistrial was declared after the shooting. And the jury was visibly shaken and upset, of course, watching this happen. He was in a federal state prison from 2007 and was handed over to the U.S. Marshals just on Friday. That's what the correction people are saying anyway. So his trial in the robbery case was one of the first at this new federal courthouse that just opened a week ago in downtown Salt Lake City, next door to the old federal courthouse. And it's the tower building, which it's called now, is designed supposedly to withstand blasts and also it does contain a bunch of bulletproof glass in some of the areas. So they had all kinds of security measures in place, but look what happened. It didn't work in this case. The courthouse was temporarily closed after the shooting, and it was later reopened. So how are you, America, as we start off on a pretty sour note, unfortunately? Hey, coming up on this show, I am going to take your pulse as I check the mail coming up next on America Tonight. And there are some things that are pretty interesting, like the Boston Marathon was a feel-good moment, I think, for a lot of people during the day. They try to tune in or hear updates on what was happening and what the response was. And it was like a celebration. It was not marred by anything evil or any kind of close calls or any strangeness that certainly last year was a whole different ball game when the bombs went off by the finish line, and changed the lives of so many people. But this wasn't about that. This was about people finishing the race. Almost 10,000 extra people were there to run in the race. There was a big crowd all over the race, every single place they went. That's not necessarily unusual but it was even thicker with people this time around. It was a nice day for the race, so pretty cool. And one of the touching, I think one of the more touching stories, and there's the obvious elite runners and the stories there, but there was a story about a couple that finished the marathon together after losing legs in that bombing. So not to be held back, they each lost a leg, and they finished the race. The lives of Patrick Downs and Jessica Kensky changed. They were recently married. They were spectators at the marathon when the bombs went off. And a year later, they turned something that was a tragedy into a personal triumph, you'd have to say. They were in the hand cycle division, and they crossed 2 hours, 14 minutes, and 13 seconds. So what a wild odyssey that is. They were married just 7 months before the 2013 marathon. And then after what happened last time around, a friend created a website to help support their recovery, because it's such an overwhelming amount of money, insurance or not, that you burn through, especially if there's two of you, when it comes to, you know, artificial limbs and all of the rehab you have to go through. So in just 3 days, the friends that posted a website to help them raise money to help this couple, they raised $500,000. So how about that? They were there for the memorial ceremony that they had a week before the marathon and on the first anniversary, and then they were part of this whole hand cycle thing, which is terrific. And they said they were proud and they were happy, and they feel like their healing process came full circle by crossing the finish line the same way they watched the marathon and doing it together. You know, there were some famous people along the line, too, greeting some of the marathoners. They didn't want credit for that, but it's hard to miss Tom Brady and Giselle cheering on the runners. And certainly there were a lot of Red Sox that were trying to show their support, too. It was really a wild scene, I think, to look down Boylston Street and see people coming across the finish line. And some of the stories, like the one that I just told, when we're so many of the things that we start with and talk about and that are brutal in the world, that's a couple that figured out a way to survive it and thrive. And you have to give them credit for doing what they did and just living life and moving forward and being able to be together still, even after having to go through something pretty wild. You know, marriage and life has lots of ups and downs, but in the very beginning of your marriage is usually when you're young and you're not expecting that kind of thing to happen. And boy, they bounced back. Good for them. Coming up next, your thoughts as we check the mail. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
My favorite things that we do here in the show, I know I say it all the time, hit me up with your opinions. Just send them to americatonight.net, click on contact, and bada bing, you're in. A lot of you had opinions on everything from the Boston Marathon to what happened in Seoul, Korea. So let's jump right into it as we head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Checking our first one, Benny says, Cade's been a long time since I've actually spoken with you. I promise to call the show again soon. I have to say I was flipping around all day long trying to get little snippets of the Boston Marathon to see who was in the lead and what was going on. And it seemed like the crowds were really big and very enthusiastic and looked like there were absolutely no problems whatsoever. Thank goodness. Not that I thought that there would be a problem. What I thought was also very poignant was the fact that so many people came back who were actually injured. And here and there, I was able to see some interviews with them and listen to what they had to say about coming back to the marathon and reclaiming their life, the city, and everything that was important to them. Very, very cool. I'll tell you what, I wish I was there. Yeah. You know, we heard from Luke Vargas earlier, who comes on with us quite often from the UN and travels all over the place and has talked to us abroad. And he's from Boston, and he talked about what it was like to go back and be a sort of a spectator slash journalist and where he positioned himself and what that actually felt like for him. Got another one about the Boston Marathon. In fact, several, but we'll just do two of them. This one is from Bob in Illinois, who emails us maybe a couple times a week. Bob says, Cade, I know. I hope I'm not being too annoying, but I want to say this. I really feel for the people of Boston. I felt awful last year when the two bombs went off, and especially when we saw the pictures and heard the stories about the three people who were killed, and really four when you consider the cop that was killed, too. And I think it was just so terrific that a U.S. man won the race, albeit not naturally born here. He is a U.S. citizen, and I thought it was very, very cool that that happened. There was a lot of excitement, it seemed, over that, and a very fast time, too. Yeah, Meb, I can't pronounce his last name to save my life, 2 hours, 8 minutes, and 37 seconds. It was a pretty darn fast time, pretty excited. He was pretty excited when he crossed the finish line, and the crowd went just absolutely crazy. 36,000 runners in the Boston Marathon. And I think for some of the people, it wasn't even about competition. It was just about finishing it. It seemed that way in the little snippets that I was able to catch, you know, during the day. It was very, very, very cool. So 26.2 miles, that was kept very, very safe. Boston strong for sure. All right, let's move to another one and another topic. This one from Meg, who says, Kate, I can't believe how many people they're digging up from this whole ferry accident. It's so sad to see the pictures and hear some of the wails of the people who are realizing and have known, I'm certain, that their high schooler was killed in this mishap that didn't seem to have to happen when nobody evacuated the ship. I think they should hang that captain. It's ridiculous what he did. At least he should spend his life in prison. Yeah, I got to assume he's going to spend his life in prison once they go through the system, because the South Korean president was so upset by the captain. He took a lot of swipes at him for what happened with the sunken ferry and all the people that have officially been classified as dead, and the 199 others who are still missing. A lot of them are students and teachers. They were simply on a field trip from their high school near Seoul. I mean, just so awful. A field trip, excited about going on a field trip, and then this is what happens. And more details keep coming out about this captain and all the chaos and confusion on the ferry and what they were supposed to do. And then it's too late by the time they're going to decide that, oh, geez, maybe we should get some people in lifeboats, it's already too late for that. So the captain should have made a decision to help people escape. He should have. And the president is right to say that, and the captain can defend himself about delaying the evacuation, but it doesn't matter that the water was cold. Cold water with ships racing towards you where they can pull you out versus a sinking ferry. Give me a break. I don't think it's going to go well for this ferry captain, who's now charged with abandoning his boat, negligence, causing bodily injury, not seeking rescue from other ships, and violating seamen's law. That's what they're saying now at this point. So, he's in big, big trouble, but it's really sad about the kids more than anything. And, certainly the teachers and anyone that was on that ship not expecting that, not expecting anything more than just pure unadulterated pleasure, frankly, being on the boat, being on the water, and not in a situation where they're not going to survive this, not going to survive it. I got another one here from, not about Korea, but another one about that ferry, but another one here from John, who says, Kate, I heard you mention on the previous show the kid who got in the wheel well and somehow made it to Maui. Do you think that's really a true story? It seems so unlikely. How could he possibly have survived that without even a scratch? I bet that they're going to come up with something and find out that he was already on the island. It just seems so unlikely to me. Well, they say, you know, I just was at that airport. Kahului is a small airport, and they said they saw a boy wandering around the tarmac, and he was confused and dazed, and then told his story. And they thought the story was incredible, but he was from Santa Clara, California. He ran away from home on Sunday morning. He says he didn't have an ID. He was only carrying a comb, and he hitched a ride, you know, from San Jose to Maui, only he did it in the wheel well. Now, some people who fly, some pilots are saying, oh, that's baloney. There's no way he could have survived that. He could never have survived the freezing temperatures and what would happen on that flight. So is it true or is it an exaggeration and somehow he got there a different way? But how would he get there? So, you know, how would he get there? Hawaiian Airlines and investigating on the ground, they couldn't come up with anything else that was plausible. So while it sounds incredible, I mean, you know, being in a wheel well, think of looking at a plane. Have you ever gotten off a plane and then the kind where you have to walk down and then go up the, go up the steps, and you've seen wheel wells. You look out the window when you're at the airport, you see them. It seems so unlikely that you would be able to do that with the oxygen not there. You wouldn't have any oxygen, the cold. I mean, I would expect that you wouldn't survive this at all. So are they going to come up with something else that says that he did something else? I don't know. I mean, maybe he's one of those rare survivors. You know, you get those people, and it seems like they're crying wolf or making up a story or whatever. But could he have, and he said he doesn't remember much. And the FAA is saying he could have been hibernating, like a hibernative state. So it's not impossible he would slip into unconsciousness, the body cools, and then the central nervous system ultimately is kind of preserved. And that could be what happened there, that he wouldn't have the instantaneous freezing of his skin. But that many hours without oxygen, I mean, it is just a miracle. And they're saying it's dumb luck and not impossible. They're saying it's not impossible, though it seems impossible and could maybe never, ever be duplicated again. They say that since the 40s, 105 people are known to have attempted to fly inside wheel wells on close to 100 flights across the world. And of those, 25 made it through, including a 9-year-old child, because the survival rate is only 24%. And one of the flights went as high as 39,000 feet. This one went close to that, went over just over 38,000 feet. And I guess it's not impossible, because there are definitely a lot of people that are saying that it's baloney, that there's no way that this happened, that, you know, he can... They're going to prove it, that he definitely was in the wheel well. And it's not hard to climb into the wheel well. You grab the struts and you can get in there, that's for sure. There's not a ton of room, but, I mean, it's like less than the trunk of a car, but you could do it, so it's not impossible. But it is a very crazy story, very crazy story. And I'm going to say I believe the kid, because walking around with a comb, nothing else in his hand, it just doesn't seem likely that there was something else going on here. All right, all roads lead to America tonight. If you want your email read on the air, send us your thoughts on anything that's happening in the news or something happening in your backyard, americatonight.net. Again, click on contact and bada bing, you are in just like that. Thanks for all the emails, and maybe next time you'll be the lucky one who gets heard on the air. Stay with us, more to come on America Tonight.
How can you save a ton of money and prepare for emergencies? By having your own in-home freeze dryer from Harvest Right. Now you can cut down on wasted food by freeze drying your leftovers. That's right. Create your own long-term food storage by freeze drying your own fruits, meats, vegetables, even complete meals with the Harvest Right in-home freeze dryer. Imagine the savings and the peace of mind. See how the amazing Harvest Right freeze dryer works at harvestright.com.
The TalkStream Live app for iPhone, iPad, and Android is the fastest and easiest way to access live talk radio anytime, anywhere. Download the free TalkStream Live app right now and see for yourself. You'll enjoy instant access to the best in live talk radio. Find your favorite shows and discover some new ones. The TalkStream Live app is available in the App Store, the Google Play Store, or visit TalkStreamLive.com. That's TalkStreamLive.com.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. freezedryguy.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
After 17 years, that's what he goes there for. Seeming like a dollar. All around him criticize and say, and through a fractal on a breaking wall, I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we dream.
Coming up on America Tonight, By the Numbers, We Can Count. One of our special features will go there. But before we do that, how about I heard it in the news, some of those headlines. There still are really papers in the United States for now anyway. And here's some of the top headlines that they were throwing down at the Washington Post. The Washington Post top headline was Game Changer, Drug Gets FDA Boost. And it was a treatment for, they're talking about a treatment for muscular dystrophy, which of course children, it's the ability to walk. That's what happens when they have muscular dystrophy. And they might be able to fast-track it. They're talking about fast-tracking this drug that has really turned things around. And they believe that it could be an incredible success story. Wouldn't it be great to hear that? In medicine, it's so frustrating, I think, to hear what's not happening. How about what is happening? And they say what's happened in the past is families have this great big hope, and there's all this campaigning the FDA for certain things, for other drugs that have come down the pike. But this one, in the studies that they've shown, they show that what it's been able to happen here with the drug, it's helped some of these kids in their pathway to walking unaided and to living a longer, more healthy life. However, that's what's happened in this small test. And they think that, of course, when you have a small test, what happens when you have a bigger population that are trying to get this relief? And, boy, if there could be some kind of a treatment for this disease that affects like 15,000 boys, especially in the United States, it'd be amazing. So there is a big urgency sense that this is a promising drug and that even if it won't work over the long term, at least patients and insurers, it even if what the cost is, it will help them in the short run anyway. So I think what's happening is people are waffling on their opinions as to whether or not it's something that is truly going to be a fix or it's such a temporary fix and it's not clear cut the results at this point that it, and we're talking about eteplirsen, which is, I think, the name of the drug, eteplirsen, and the results have been pretty good, where you've got reports of a 10-year-old who's losing function in his legs, and this is giving this back. So they're pushing for the drug approval because it has zero side effects, supposedly, and great potential to work. And if the kid is walking when he shouldn't be, the argument is, from some people, who cares? Especially the parents. So you can imagine the parents who want to see this get passed and want to see this come, you know, become a reality, which is why it was such a big, huge headline in the Washington Post, because they're right there, as is the FDA. So if they're looking for approval, those kind of stories would pop up on the radar as a human interest story and through the eyes of people who have children who have this very tough thing to deal with. The other thing was, the other big Washington Post headline was the clemency push is on for drug offenders. And this is a story that we've talked about a lot here on America Tonight. Well, once again, you've got the Justice Department right there in their backyard. And the Justice Department is preparing for that request for thousands of inmates because the Obama administration is certainly efforting an aggressive push to foster equity, is what they're calling it, in the criminal sentencing by considering clemency requests from as many as thousands of federal inmates serving time for drug offenses. And the initiative amounts to a campaign to free nonviolent offenders to start immediately and continue over the next 2 years. The Justice Department is saying it expects to reassign dozens of lawyers to its understaffed pardons office to handle the requests from the inmates. So that headline pretty much tells you the whole story right there, that they're preparing for clemency requests because they know they're going to get thousands of them from inmates who are hoping that this is their get-out-of-jail card now and sooner rather than later. They don't want to have to wait for that. All of those stories, the two stories I just did and the big headlines in the paper, make sense, again, like I said, because of the area that we're talking about. Now, if you jump around a little bit and you take, for example, let's take another big city on the East Coast, the New York Post. Always a little more on the trashy side, the sensational headlines that they'll look for. And the headlines there, New York is, Netflix rather, is about to get more expensive because they're going to raise the rate on Netflix. The other thing is New York City refuses to release bikes seized during Superstorm Sandy because, remember that storm, and what happened was they took the New York Police Department took some of those bikes, thousands of bikes that were seized. They were being held at a Brooklyn warehouse, and the cops won't even allow the family of a dead cyclist to have access for a lawsuit. I mean, that's how tight they are about this. And it's called the Kingsland facility, and it's condemned because of a storm damage. They say it's too dangerous for anyone to enter and pick up to retrieve bicycles. It's like sort of bike jail. It is. It's bike jail. It's a nightmare. And for the family of what I just mentioned, Matthew Lefevre, he's a 30-year-old guy who was killed in a hit-and-run crash with a truck while he was cycling in Williamsburg in October of 2011, and they need that bike so they can present it when they go to court in a suit against the driver and the owner of the truck. But they can't get to it right now because it's in bicycle wasteland. And, I mean, just these bikes are piled up, but they can't risk it. So that was a huge headline in the New York Post. There's a story you never even heard about. Who even thought about such a thing? And then there's another story about an ex-intern blackmailing Jay-Z for $30 million for master recordings. Give me $30 million, I give you your master recordings back. And it's a collection, I guess, quite a collection of 50 Jay-Z original master recordings that are valued at that amount of money. That's why that amount was thrown out there. And it's a kind of a theft. It's not kind of. It's a theft and extortion plot. This was a studio intern who demanded that he get paid $110,000 to get them back. The ex-intern contacted Rock Nation by email last week saying he had these master recordings that were made between 2002 and 2003. Well, I would think they would want those back, but they won't be held hostage by it. See what you learn when you learn when you find the headlines of all these other papers across the United States? So that's what they're talking about in New York. Bicycles in jail while they wait, an intern blackmailing Jay-Z for master recordings, Netflix taking on the world and explaining why they're charging more money. And then if we go to something completely different and go somewhere instead on the other, well, in the middle, we'll call it the middle of the country, which it is the middle of the country, the Chicago Sun-Times, their front page is considerably different, including Crawford shutting out the Blues as the Blackhawks rather take Game 3 because they've struggled and lost the first two games, and now they're able to win the third game, important to the people in Chicago, because their Blackhawks, who won the Stanley Cup last year, are in the hunt for it, you have to say, this year. But they've played a couple of really, really tough, tough games. And then there's the story about Rahm Emanuel, the mayor, Mayor Emanuel, urging people to stand together against violence. So Rahm Emanuel is pushing to try to get people to be more vigilant in their neighborhoods instead of what continuously is the theme in Chicago of where, what neighborhood are you talking about and how badly are you dealing with whatever the aftermath is, whether it's a hail of bullets or being beaten up half to death. All right, coming up next, it's the numbers we can count.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call? And how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
In the U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Topping weekend counts. Crazy story about this Brian Singer child sex abuse that is the accuser suing three more Hollywood people. All of a sudden now, days after Michael Egan filed a civil lawsuit against the X-Men director Brian Singer with these allegations of drugging and sexual abuse when he was a teenager, the former child actor now has filed three more suits, pretty graphic and pretty detailed, against Garth Ancier and Gary Goddard and David Newman, some of the names you might recognize or might not if you go to movies and pay attention to some of the credits. Egan's attorney told reporters during a press conference that like Singer, the three additional men allegedly abused Egan at the house of a convicted sex offender, as well as in Hawaii where the suits were filed. According to these documents, I won't go too deep on this, but all three entertainment industry honchos, and they are, forcibly intoxicated Egan with drugs and alcohol, pressured him into sex and sodomy, they say, between the ages of 15 and 17, between 15 and 17, and the attorney says that there is a sex ring in Hollywood where minors are promised roles but are in turn exploited. Wow, that is a huge story. If this, especially with what could come out in court, And naturally, I mean, if you look at the resumes of these guys, you know, you're talking about one, a guy who was a founding programmer at Fox, the CW, the former president of the BBC, Worldwide America. You're talking about another guy who was the Disney TV president and the chief programming officer at CNN, and it's amazing. First of all, the suit, I mean, good for him for filing the suit, but what comes out of this will be interesting to see, especially the fact that they're talking about that there is a ring that's going on, and that they're saying that there's been about 800 sex abuse cases. Wow. 800 sex abuse cases. That would bring down a whole bunch of people in Hollywood if they can prove any of that, and who knows where that's all at. I mean, you know, that's the other part of this. All right, this is kind of a crazy story, but one that I guess he wasn't thinking about. But the White House had its annual Easter egg roll on the South Lawn on Monday, and there were 30,000 people there at the event. And also at the event was Robert Griffin III, RG3, of course, the Redskins quarterback. And he was pretty serious about chasing after the eggs, because it's been reported that he came to the event in cleats. He came to the event in cleats. Wow, I wonder if he tore up any of that lawn. I don't know that they appreciated the whole cleats thing with RG3. I guess he wanted to make sure that he was able to get enough eggs, and the word is that he apparently got about a dozen eggs, so there's your big number for you. But that's competitive, and I guess they allowed him to do it. So normally you're just in whatever it is that you wear, and you're chasing the eggs and trying to find the eggs. But he wore cleats. Maybe he wears cleats everywhere. I don't know. It seems like a strange thing to wear to the White House, and especially with how picky they are about trampling the lawn, even though they have so many people that are there for different events, still they're very, very picky about it. Let's put it that way. All right, this is a sad story about the death toll in the South Korea ferry disaster, but a lot of you have asked me about it, so we'll touch on it again. About 100 families, they just know the news is going to be bad, so they're waiting. And, you know, which is worse, to have your son or daughter's body pulled out of the water first, or to wait, and they've got these tents, and they take the bodies, they pull them out, they put them in ambulances, they've separated the men and the boys and the girls and the women, and families listen and then go in and identify, and the death count is shooting up. It's 109. There's, you know, just a little under 200 that are still missing. The divers have some crazy conditions they're encountering as they're trying to remove all these bodies. And about 250 of the more than 300 missing or dead were students from this high school near Seoul who were on their way to an island as part of a reward. They were there with teachers and a handful of teachers, chaperones, and they, I think the families are just blown away, stunned, and especially the anger rises when they hear about the captain abandoning the ship and not trying to evacuate it sooner, waiting for a half an hour, and then the transcript that's coming out of the ship-to-shore communications that was just released that revealed the ship was crippled with indecision is what it was. And that a crew member asked whether passengers would be rescued after abandoning ship, even as the ferry tilted so much that it became impossible to escape. And that's what happened because of the indecision. Instead of thinking right away, we got to get people off, get the kids off, get the teachers off, whatever. They didn't do that. He didn't do that. The captain didn't call for that. They waited. And then look what happens as a result of that. The massive tragedy. Cannot emphasize enough how sad and awful that is. How about the Supreme Court and checking the truth in the labels law, meaning what are you reading when you go to the grocery store, looking at the labels. It's a case that could probably strengthen, as what's being reported, that law. Supreme Court justices on Monday voiced skepticism about Coca-Cola's pomegranate blueberry juice that is 99.4% apple and grape juice, saying the name would probably fool most consumers, including themselves. The High Court is actually hearing an appeal from Stewart and Linda Resnick of L.A., makers of a rival pomegranate juice called Palm Wonderland, who complained that the name of the Coca-Cola product sold under the Minute Maid brand is false and misleading. The labeling is incorrect. So at issue is whether federal laws permit selling a product with a name or label that is almost sure to mislead consumers, and how much latitude manufacturers have in marketing. And so it's very, very big. Anyone with any kind of a product would pay close attention, I would assume, to what's being said. We know what the Supreme Court opinion will ultimately be, because it affects the people who are doing the labeling. It certainly affects the consumers, too. In one of these sessions, during the session, Justice Kennedy said Coca-Cola was effectively asking for a right to cheat consumers, even though a federal law known as Lanham's Act forbids selling products with a false or misleading description. So what will they decide here? This will be a big one that has a ripple effect across the board for people who buy the juice, either one of the juices, and precedent setting in the appeal, it could be for sure. You know, you get, especially juices is a great example, flavored and juice blend versus none of those things. So the FDA regulations had another advantage for food companies through the federal rules, or though the federal rules could not be enforced through private lawsuits, injured parties could sue companies under that act I mentioned against false advertising and other business activities. Whoa. I bet those companies are heavily insured for that very reason. Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.